Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
By the time Alex learned to stop reacting, the habit was already ingrained. Not fear, exactly. Fear implied panic, a loss of control, but vigilance. The kind that settles into the body quietly and never quite leaves. The kind that makes a person notice the weight of a room. The way silence shifts. The way animals behave when they think no one is watching. Alex had been noticing strange things since childhood. 6 years old, maybe younger. At first, they were easy to explain away. Imagination, bad lighting, exhaustion. That was the comfort of being young. Adults always had an answer. And those answers were usually enough. The recent incidents began on a Wednesday evening, ordinary in every way until they weren't. Alex was loading work gear into the car, moving on autopilot, already thinking ahead to the next day. When they turned back toward the garage shelf, the container of gas and oil mix came flying off without warning, not sliding, not tipping, flying. It struck the concrete and burst open, splattering the floor, the wall, the side of the car. Alex stood there longer than necessary, staring at the mess. Gravity explained accidents. Gravity did not explain trajectory. Still, they cleaned it up, washed their hands, and told themselves shelves vibrated, containers shifted. It was fine. That's when they heard it. As Alex reached back to pull the garage door closed, there was a sound, low, close, indistinct. A whisper that never quite formed words, followed by something deeper, rougher. A sound that didn't echo, didn't travel. It felt like it came from behind their ear. Alex froze with one hand still on the door. Nothing else happened, no footsteps, no movement. Just silence, returning like it had always been there. Thursday morning came too quickly. Alex was half awake, moving upstairs before dawn, when the sound of shuffling came from behind the curtain that separated the laundry and cat area from the basement hallway. The assumption was immediate and automatic. The cat. But when Alex reached the stairs, the cat was already there, sitting at the top, staring down. Alert, still, not blinking. That was wrong. The cat always waited outside the bedroom door, always announced herself. She never waited on the stairs. Alex turned slowly, heart rate climbing despite every effort to keep it steady. At the far end of the basement, near the curtained doorway, something darker than shadow stood just long enough to be registered. It wasn't defined, no features, no edges, but it moved with intention, slipping through the curtain as though it were solid. When Alex investigated, there was nothing. No disturbance. No sound. No reason for the cat to bolt upstairs seconds later and refuse to come back down. Animals noticed things Alex wished they wouldn't. Over the next few days, the house developed a rhythm that didn't match its occupants. Footsteps upstairs when Alex was home alone. Soft, deliberate pacing that stopped just short of being visible. Every time Alex went to check, the house was empty, undisturbed, unchanged. At night, the basement wall produced dull thumps at irregular intervals. Not loud enough to be alarming, not consistent enough to track. Alex stopped trying to identify them. Listening made it worse. The cat wouldn't sleep downstairs anymore. When coaxed into the bedroom, she paced in tight circles, ears swiveling, eyes locked on corners that never changed. Eventually, she demanded to leave, sprinting back upstairs as if chased. Alex didn't tell anyone, not yet. Work was supposed to be different, public spaces, routine, witnesses. The mall where Alex occasionally worked, night security, had its own atmosphere. After hours, too quiet, too large. But at first it felt manageable. Until the boy appeared. Alex was sitting at the report writing computer late one night, back turned to the windows, when the sensation of being watched crept in. It wasn't sudden. It built slowly, like pressure. When Alex turned around, a young boy stood outside the window, staring in. Instinct kicked in before logic. Alex waved. Only after turning back to the screen did the reality settle in. The office was on the second floor. When Alex looked again, the boy was gone. That wasn't the last time. Locked doors produced knocking sounds, firm and patient. Shadows passed the window without casting reflections. Laughter echoed through vacant corridors long after closing time. Co-workers heard it too, which made it worse. Shared experiences meant fewer explanations. After moving to a new office space within the mall, things shifted. The boy appeared less often, replaced by voices, women talking in hallways that were empty, conversations that stopped the moment Alex stood up to investigate. One night, alone at the desk around 2 a.m, Alex heard a woman speak directly into their ear. "Are you ready?" "I'm ready." Alex didn't ask for clarification. Every light went on. Music blared until dawn. Some places resisted entry altogether. Beneath one building was a vacant space that once housed a nightclub. Even during the day, it felt wrong. At night, it was unbearable. The air felt thick, oppressive, like stepping into a room that didn't want visitors. Alex went down there once alone to check temperatures during winter. Nausea hit almost immediately. On the way out, a large dark shape stood watching from the corner. When Alex stared back, it moved closer. After that, Alex never went alone again. The pattern was emerging, even if Alex didn't want to admit it yet. Things happened when no one else was around. They escalated when acknowledged. They responded when confronted. Alex began to understand something without quite putting it into words. Whatever this was, it noticed attention, and it didn't always like it. What unsettled Alex most wasn't the experiences themselves, it was the way they echoed. Once something crossed from personal to shared, it lost the safety net of self-doubt. Hallucinations didn't trade notes with co-workers. Stress didn't leave fingerprints on other people's nights. The mall had witnesses. Alex wasn't the first to mention the boy. That realization came accidentally late one morning when a supervisor laughed too quickly after Alex asked if anyone else had ever seen a child upstairs after hours. "Yeah," the supervisor said, eyes already drifting away. "People have mentioned that." Mentioned. Past tense. As if it were weather. As if weather could stare back. The janitorial staff had their own stories. One woman arrived early one morning, parking alone in the empty lot just before 6. She looked up at the office windows while waiting to clock in and saw a child running back and forth through the hallway, fast, playful, unmistakably present. She didn't wait. She grabbed her bag, ran inside, locked herself in her office, and called her boss in tears. He wasn't surprised. Another manager admitted he'd seen the same boy through a second-story window while walking past the building outside. When he went in to investigate, the floor was empty, doors locked, no explanation offered. Then there was the shadowed upper level of the adjacent building, the unfinished space across the outdoor mall. Multiple people had seen movement there at night, shapes darting back and forth, too fast to be human, too deliberate to be animals. No one worked there. No one was supposed to be there. Alex tried to keep emotional distance, documentation, not interpretation, observations without conclusions. That worked until the woman's voice came back. It happened on a night when Alex was alone again, the mall sealed tight, the echo of footsteps swallowed by distance. Sitting at the desk, report half finished, Alex felt it first, the sensation of proximity. Not behind, not beside. Inside the personal space boundary, close enough to feel warmth that wasn't there. The voice wasn't loud. "Are you ready?" "I'm ready." It wasn't threatening. That made it worse. Alex didn't answer, didn't breathe, just stood up, turned on every light, and played music until sunrise chased the dark into something manageable. There were places within the mall Alex learned to avoid entirely. The vacant space beneath the office building was at the top of that list. Former nightclub, concrete floors, no windows. The kind of place where sound died too quickly. The one time Alex went down there alone, nausea rolled in immediately. The air felt wrong, charged, like static waiting for a discharge. On the way out, a large shadow stood near the exit, unmistakably humanoid. When Alex stared back, it moved forward. After that, Alex insisted on a buddy system. 2 people in, 2 people out. The shadow never appeared when Alex wasn't alone. The pattern was repeating, and another workplace brought more confirmation. A warehouse job, temporary at first, overnight shifts escorting contractors and monitoring repairs. The building used motion-activated lights, leaving most of the space in darkness. Alex noticed the lights turning on down aisles where no one stood, one by one. Sequential, intentional. Then came laughter. A woman's laugh, light and sharp, from behind. Later that same night, a dark figure ran between dock doors and aisles at the far end of the building. Featureless, solid, fast. When Alex finally saw it again near a support column, it vanished the moment Alex moved toward it. When Alex transitioned to a permanent post at the front desk, the activity changed. The warehouse closed on weekends, leaving only two guards on site. That was when the footsteps began, heavy, deliberate, approaching the desk, stopping just short of visibility, then retreating. One day, chains rattled violently. A crash followed. Alex and another guard found the chain-link gate to the kitchen torn off its track, hanging uselessly. No alarm had triggered, no explanation offered. On Thanksgiving, irritated and exhausted, Alex finally snapped. "Stop it," Alex said aloud. "Nobody cares." The sound stopped immediately. That should have been reassuring, and instead, something black slammed into the exterior window with enough force to rattle the frame. When Alex turned back toward the interior security glass, the dark figure stood there, pounding on it with both hands. Alex apologized without thinking. Out loud. Immediately. The figure vanished. The footsteps retreated. Alex never spoke to it again. Home offered no refuge. After moving to the basement bedroom, the disturbances followed. A woman's humming drifted through vents late at night. The cats reacted first, bolting, lining up at the basement stairs, staring downward as if watching something climb. When Alex's cousin visited, a game of hide-and-seek ended abruptly. The spare room door flew open. The cousin ran out pale, swearing something had whispered his name directly into his ear. That was when Alex stopped asking if something was happening. The question shifted quietly, dangerously, into something harder to answer. Why did it respond? And why did it follow? Alex stopped thinking in terms of events and started thinking in terms of patterns. That was the real shift. Nothing dramatic happened to cause it. No final confrontation. No decisive moment where something appeared clearly enough to be named. Instead, the change came from exhaustion. The kind that settles in when the mind never truly rests. When silence becomes something that has to be monitored rather than enjoyed. By the time Alex moved fully into the basement bedroom, the world had narrowed, not physically, but perceptually. Every sound was measured, every shadow was cataloged. Alex didn't jump at noises anymore, but that didn't mean the fear was gone. Fear had simply matured into something quieter and far more invasive. The basement had rules now. Lights stayed on at night, even while sleeping. Doors stayed closed. Music played softly, not loud enough to drown out everything, but enough to keep the space from becoming empty. Silence, Alex had learned, was not neutral. Silence was a vacuum, and vacuums pulled things in. The cats adapted first. They stopped lingering near the spare room entirely. They would pass the doorway quickly, tails low, ears rotating, as if tracking something Alex couldn't hear. One refused to enter the basement at all anymore. When Alex tried to carry her down, she clawed free and bolted back upstairs, her body rigid with panic. Animals didn't imagine things. That truth sat heavier than any shadow ever had. At night, Alex lay awake, listening to the house breathe. Pipes shifted, wood contracted. The familiar sounds of an old home layered themselves together. But underneath them was something else, not louder, just deliberate. A rhythm that didn't belong to the structure itself. The thumping against the basement wall returned occasionally. Never strong enough to leave a mark. Never consistent enough to predict. Alex stopped checking the wall entirely. The few times curiosity won, the sound changed. Moved closer, sharper, more insistent. Ignoring it made it fade. Acknowledging it made it linger. The realization was unsettling in a way that no apparition ever had been. This wasn't something that wanted fear. It wanted response. The mall stayed with Alex the longest, even after the contract ended. Even after nights, there became memories instead of routines. The sensations followed. Not visually, not audibly, but emotionally. Certain buildings carried the same pressure. Certain corridors made Alex slow down instinctively, pulse quickening before any conscious thought caught up. Alex began avoiding places with long, straight hallways, warehouses, parking structures, underpasses, anything where sound traveled too cleanly. Sleep grew fragmented. Dreams became heavy and repetitive. Not nightmares exactly, nothing cinematic or symbolic, but long, looping scenarios where Alex stood somewhere familiar while something unseen moved just out of frame. Waking up was worse than sleeping, because waking meant remembering the rules. One night, months after the last major incident, Alex broke them. It wasn't intentional. It was a bad day layered on top of a bad week. Stress, lack of sleep, the dull frustration of feeling watched even when alone. When the footsteps started upstairs, slow, deliberate, stopping just short of the staircase, Alex snapped. "Enough!" Alex said aloud, voice shaking but firm. "I'm done!" The house went still, not quiet. Still, the silence pressed inward, thick and suffocating, as if the air itself had paused. Alex's ears rang. The cats froze where they stood, bodies rigid, eyes locked on the ceiling. Then came the sound. Not footsteps, breathing. Close, too close. Alex didn't turn around. Every instinct screamed to look, to confirm, to understand. Instead, Alex stood perfectly still, heart pounding hard enough to blur vision. "I'm done," Alex said again, quieter this time. "I won't do this anymore." The breathing stopped, nothing followed, no movement, no sound retreating, no dramatic exit, just absence. That night, Alex didn't sleep, but something changed after that. The activity didn't escalate, but it didn't disappear either. It shifted, became subtler, harder to describe, less about interaction, and more about proximity. Alex would enter a room and feel wrongness immediately, only to have it fade minutes later. Objects no longer moved, sounds no longer repeated. Instead, the sensation of being evaluated settled in, as if something had learned the limits. Alex stopped talking about it to anyone outside the family. Even within the house, the subject became something everyone danced around. Nobody wanted to give it shape by naming it. Ignoring it felt safer than understanding it. And yet understanding crept in anyway. Alex began to suspect that whatever had been present wasn't tied to any one location. Nor was it attached to Alex specifically. It existed in thresholds, in transitional spaces, emotional and physical alike, night shifts, vacant buildings, basements, periods of stress and isolation. Alex wasn't haunted. Alex was available. That realization was darker than any ghost story, because availability could be managed, but never erased. Now, years later, Alex still notices things. Still hears footsteps where no one stands, still feels watched in empty spaces, but the fear no longer spikes. It settles, cold and familiar, like an old injury that aches before rain. Alex lives carefully, avoids provocation, respects silence without surrendering to it, and when something shifts just beyond sight, Alex does what experience has proven works best. Nothing, not fear, not denial, just quiet, deliberate awareness, because whatever lives in the dark doesn't need belief to exist. It only needs attention.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.